Welcome back, all my nerds, geeks, blurts, and freaks, to another episode of Gadgets and Geekery Presents Geeky, Sexual, and Intellectual. Ooh, child, that's a mouthful. Every time I say it, I gotta take a deep breath like I'm about to hit a note. But I'm glad y'all back. Today's guest is Mr. James Boyce, also known as Grand... I mess this up every time. I did this in the interview. Grandmaster Facts. I don't even know why that's hard. It's like a tongue twister for me. But anyway, this brother is phenomenal. He be really getting it in for the people, for the cause, for the culture of indie black comic book and content creators. So if you never heard of his brother, look into it. Follow the man. He got a podcast coming out called The Facts Project. You can find him on Spotify and any other major streaming platform. So we about to get into it. Enjoy. All right, welcome back to another episode of Geeky, Sexual, and Intellectual. I am your host, Q, and today's guest is Mr. James Boyce from the Grand Facts. I'm sorry, I always get this wrong. Grand Master Facts. It's like, yeah, I don't want to do this show anymore.
Hey, look, yeah. It's just a moniker. It's like a nickname, you know. It works.
Yeah, yeah. But every time I write it on something, like, you know, with our blurred fleet, I'm just like, Grand Facts. Grand, I bet that is not his name. Yeah. So how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
No, it's overdue, sir, because I got like, how many people we got in the blurred fleet? Like 20, over 20?
27?
Yeah, something like that. And I'm like, I've been so lazy. I'm like, I need to talk to all my folks. So, but I wanted you to be the first.
Thank you. Look, I'm happy to be the first.
Thank you, man. But I like to start the show out. I ask all my guests, you know, we going through Corona season. It ain't even season, it's year. So how you doing? How have you been making it through this year?
I'm doing okay. As a matter of fact, probably the biggest reason that I've been more active on social media and everything is basically through the pandemic, because I've been home. Mm-hmm. But pretty much, I mean, this has been my therapy. You know, the reason that I haven't gone to the lengths of the depths of being insane, you know, has been my calling just to come downstairs, do some work, video editing, shoot. I even asked you a few questions to Zoom on everything so I could just get some work done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's turned into from a hobby into a life project. So this has actually been pretty, not overwhelming, but whelming.
Oh, okay, cool. Because you know what? That is the happiest Corona story I've ever heard.
Yeah. Outside of here, there have been some things that have happened, you know what I'm saying, that I do not wish to discuss. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Aside from the pandemic, it's just everyday life. I mean, I pick and choose my poisons.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the silver lining of this whole situation that we all have to go through, is that the creativity has been overflowing since March.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, like you said, we've had all this time. Like before, you're like, oh, I wish I could do more. I don't have enough time. Well, we got the time now.
Now you don't know what to do with yourself.
Now you don't know what to do to yourself. And I'm just like, okay, now I got too much time. Like, bitch, make up your mind. Yes, I'm glad you've been, you know, holding it in there. I was telling somebody, I think this whole time, I think I had like 3 mini breakdowns in the shower. Like them cliche moments, just and like in your knees.
I'm home. We're homeschooling my daughter. She's in virtual for the rest of the year, pretty much. They asked us if we were going to do it like next semester and everything like that. And we decided to do so. So I've been mostly at home with her as far as like doing that, because my fiance works. Yeah. So she's out there working, essential employee, knocking it in, you know what I'm saying, taking care of business. All the while, I am here.
Playing.
You know what I'm saying? I am here. Me and my daughter getting it in. You know what I'm saying? School and play. We go to the park, do our thing.
Oh, man. And you know what's so crazy? Like, this year has flown by. It literally feels like it was just March. So I think... this is my third week of in-office work. I've been working at home the whole time during the pandemic, doing school with my daughter. School started back with her. She goes 2 days a week. And now I'm just like, I'm sour.
It was like, yeah. I never had that time. Like, I forgot all that time I had. That's how you know you're spoiled. I'm like, yeah. I don't want to be here. It's like, you got almost a year at home. Calm the hell down. It's 3 weeks. So,
right, right.
I'm hating on you. I just want, that was my long way around saying I'm hating on you. So, anyway, I wanted to have you on the show because I know you, and it's like a compliment now. Back in my day, it would bring you to tears. You like a huge nerd. So
I am.
Yeah. So I'm so excited to have you here. So I like to dig into people's past to figure out what they got into at a younger age to bring them to who they are today. So tell me about what were some of the things that got you into geek culture as a child?
Well, I'll tell you the story that I basically relayed on the Party Nerds podcast, the podcast that I'm on.
Yeah.
As well, I've told the story of what got me into comic books.
Okay.
And the story goes that there was a bookstore where I grew up. I grew up in South Jersey in a very, very small town on the tip, the end of New Jersey, called Cape May. And we had a bookstore called Kelsey's Books. And a few of my friends brought me to the bookstore one day and decided to let me see the comic rack for the very first time. I think I'm about 8 years old.
Okay.
And you know, I'm sitting here, I can't believe what I'm saying. I've only heard about Spider-Man. I've only heard about Batman. I've only heard about Green Lantern, because all, you know, the older cousins and everything like that have pretty much like been talking about it. You want to get included in the conversation. You try to jump in as a little kid and you get shoved out. Be like, get the hell out of here, little nigga. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So I finally feel like I didn't hit the Holy Grail, because I'm now being brought to the comic shop to get my first comic. And we're sitting there just like reading along on the, it was like a turnstile, you know, those skinny turnstiles that they had the comic books on back in the day. Mm-hmm. So I'm going through it, and my cousin, my older cousin Hub, was like, "Yo, man, which one you like?" And I was like, "Oh man, I gotta get this Spider-Man." Yeah. But it was like $1.50. It was Spider-Man Saga number one. It was a retelling of the origin story of Peter Parker, and it was built into this very thick comic book, almost like as thick as like some of these. Some of these are so
like
now.
A graphic novel style.
It was like a graphic novel. So there was like pieces and chunks because of what they call my omnibus, where you get all the story, all the stories in one book.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, I would love this one, but I ain't bring no money. I thought we was just coming in here to read. And he was like, open up your jacket. So he opened up my coat and slid. He rolled it up like a newspaper and slid it in my sleeve. And he said, go.
Welcome to the dark side, my nigga. I know. So,
it was like, I was like, oh my God. So I ran all the way home. I mean, we made it. We didn't get caught. So I had Spider-Man Saga number one. And I swear I like sat on this thing for like 2-3 weeks and just going through page by page, trying to basically find out the intricacies of Peter Parker and everything that's basically brought him to be Spider-Man. And I was enthralled. I got caught up so much that from that day on, I wanted to get money. I wanted to get money to get a job and everything like that. And I it was me and my mother. That's it. No brothers, no sisters. Single mom.
Yeah.
So I started working at age 11. I was dishwashing under the table at this place called the Rose Garden in Congress Hall. And they would pay me $20 a night.
Wow.
In cash. They would give me a 20 spot. Like, I would do 8 hours of work dishwashing. They would give me a 20 spot, and this is, I was 11, so this is 1990, you know, this is 1990. I got $20 in my hand, and I'm like, okay. And I do this two nights a week, so I get $40 in a weekend. Yeah. So I'm like, oh man, look, first off, yeah, I had a little bit of time to get away from being at Kelsey's for a while, because I'm sure they remember me running out of that damn store and everything.
Oh, they still there?
Actually, the bookstore is not there anymore.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of things that closed down and everything. But the thing is, there was like a time frame where I was like, damn, I cannot go back there to get any more comics. It's the only place in town where I can get comics. And now, since I done ran out of there with this comic book, I cannot go back in there. So I have to wait, stack my money until maybe they have like a mental lapse and everything like that. I can come in there in some separate clothes. So I didn't go back in there until like summer. So when that happened, it was winter.
Yeah.
So I went back in the summer and I finally like got some books and everything. I built up an actually a real cool relationship with the people that own the bookstore. And they saw me in there like almost like week after week in there, just buying books, buying books, buying books. And I was sold. I was sold. That was my geekdom. You know what I'm saying?
It said that you had to start on the criminal side of comics, but everybody's journey is different. I know.
It's horrible. And the thing is, I'm not a thief. I wasn't one of those knuckleheads that just did that all the time. That happened because of my cousin Hub. And the thing is, shout out to him for doing that. You know what I'm saying? As horrible as that is.
He's but like, that, go one or two ways.
Exactly.
Or geekdom.
That's it. You know? But it worked.
Yeah. It worked. Yeah, that's the story. Dang. Well, I tell you my story real quick. It's super short, but I had a friend in elementary school, and I think I'm old, way older than you, but this was like early 90s, I think. But anyway, my friend Sammy, his dad, you know how dads are in the 80s and the 90s. He wasn't around, but he left Sammy a big ass U-Haul box full of comics. And that was in the summertime. We took all the comics at the box and filled the whole house, the floors, with comic books. His mom was upset. She was like, if y'all don't get all this shit off my floor. But it was like a treasure trove. And we was like, we don't even know where to start with this shit. And like, she let us keep it on the floor. So I would go home and then I'd come back. And then we tried to go through all the books to clean up all the comics off the floor. So it was an amazing summer. And I don't know what happened with those comic books, because he ended up having to move. It was some crazy shit. But I'm like, that box is too big to bring with them. So I don't know what they did with it. But that's what started me. I don't know if he's still into that. So, but that's what got me going. It was like a lot of Teen Titans in there. I do remember.
It'd be good if he kept them.
Oh my God. That would be worth so much money. Like, they was old shits. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, I was like you said, 8 years old in the early... Was it the early 90s or was it the 80s? Oh, shit, I'm old. But anyway, them shits was old.
Yeah.
He'd be paid in the shade right now. But yeah. That's makes me sad to think about them comic books sometimes. But yeah. Hey, man. Anyway, I'm here. We had a great summer and now we're here talking on this podcast. But basically what I wanted to get to also, I started following Party Nerds. I want to say maybe... four or five years ago, and had no idea that you were affiliated with them. So you like the dude in the background that brings the knowledge to the forefront.
All right. I have to give credit where credit's due.
Okay.
There's two gentlemen that started the Party Nerds. There's Darnell and Jorge. They're the founders of it. So it started out as a meme page.
Okay.
Long time ago. I think it got established around 2014, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started. Basically, it's called the Party Nerds because we all worked in nightclubs. I was a manager of a nightclub for about 10 years.
Okay.
And Jorge was our senior VIP manager for the nightclub. We ran a pretty successful nightclub during the time in Atlantic City. Okay. And Darnell also worked in nightclubs. That's why we're called the Party Nerds. You know what I'm saying? So started out as a meme page between those two brothers.
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, so they brought me on because, you know, in between the time that we would be working, we would discuss comics, anime, like, and the thing is, oblivious to us because of our age, you know, we're just sitting there like shooting the shit, and we're like, we're finding out things about each other that we have similarities about whether it's something infused with like DC or whether it's something infused with like gaming or anything like that, like consoles back in the day. And then I get wind of their page.
Okay.
And I'm like, wait, y'all like do this? Like y'all just do this for real? And they're like, yeah, we've been doing this for like a long time. And the thing is, aside from that, they were also doing party planning, like event planning.
Okay.
So they would have cosplayers show up at parties in order to do like, you know, like if you hired them, you would get like a bunch of like girls and guys dressed up as like comic book characters, anime characters. Sometimes they would do like the black tape shows where the people get dressed up with the tape and they would do these events and everything. So I got wind of this. I was like, y'all doing this like just off of the whim of everything that you knew, you built the company off of this. It's like, yeah. And it was like, oh yeah, by the way, you know what I'm saying? We're starting a podcast. And he was like, I know you love talking about this shit. Would you like to join us? And I was like, yeah, I would like to talk about it. Absolutely. So it got formed like Voltron, it was Darnell, Jorge, our friend Devin Wade from the Devin Wade Show, mm-hmm. Aubrey, who was like our Star Wars girl, Nikki Geeks, Bravo, Jerv from Survivor, yeah. and myself. And you know, saying like I jumped right in. I think they were at like episode 10 or 12 when I jumped in. Like we're now like in the hundreds. You know what I'm saying? So like it's been a whirlwind and just like having fun with it. And I've always been the guy that's like I've been the guy that's played the background. I didn't have any social media at that time. I've only jumped on Instagram 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Only jumped on Facebook 2 years ago or anything like that. So like I was always like I was the introvert, you know, as much as I was a shy person and everything mm-hmm. like that. Pretty much reserved as far as just like jumping into the forefront. So Jorge and them kind of like pushed me into this. Okay. Like the reason that I'm right now is because like, yo, go ahead and do it and see what happens. So I started doing it a couple years ago and here's where I'm at.
Yeah, I thought that was just so cool because like you said, it was a meme page and it was like when the algorithms weren't effed up on Instagram. Oh, I used to see them all the time. Like that's how I would start my day out with one of their memes. And I'm like, who is churning this shit out? Like it is so commercial. I was like, this is nice. So it made me wanted to like step my game up. I wasn't doing memes, but I was like, oh, I know this is somebody that's working a 9-to-5 like me. I can get it in too. Shit. Yes. they had a caliber that you wanted to come up with.
They showed me. Yeah, they showed me. They actually like would schedule. They had like their memes. There would be scheduled posts.
Yeah.
That they would be like released at a certain time because they knew they would get more. They started to be finicky with the algorithm and everything like that to where they were like scheduling meme posts to be released at certain times during the day. Because they knew they were like hot times in order to feed the algorithm. And therefore you could actually like get more views or get more likes and then get more followers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they told me like all these intricacies and everything of how to do it. Of course you can't do that shit no more. You know what I'm saying? But this is what they did to like, basically like get their footing in social media.
Yeah. And it was like a perfect time because like you said, it was all these intricacies. I had no idea about like algorithms, hot times, like they'll say Monday at noon is your time when your people are on. Yeah. I didn't know nothing about this shit. I was just posting shit. And back then, that was 2014, I was posting like a crackhead, like 16 times a day. And I'm like, bitch, how are you working? You have a full-time job and you posting 6 times a day. And my boss, he was cool. We was both into geek shit. And so he followed me. He was like, so you on post number 20 for the day? I was like, but I'm getting my work done, nigga. Don't come in here checking me. But yeah, so it was like a thing that you had to learn. I feel like they broke the code early in the game.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot of fucking followers. And it was like easy back then.
Yeah, like, it was easy. It was easy.
Yeah, like it was no work. Like you didn't have to jump through the hoops that they do now. And that's when I got my followers around the same time they did. And it was just like, I didn't do anything special. Now they're there and none of those motherfuckers see my post now because of algorithms. It sucks. So yeah. But I know now you have struck out on your own and you have a podcast.
Yeah. So I'm going to be starting my own solo podcast aside from being with the Party Nerds. I'm still going to be doing the Party Nerds, but I'm starting the Facts Project. Mm-hmm. So through the pandemic, me being busy, I've actually accumulated a lot of these IG lives that I've been doing with a lot of creators, especially in the indie comic realm, especially in the Black indie comic realm, and pretty much pinpointing their reasoning for making the creations in which they have. And it's all ultimately just proving that, you know, us as Black folk are not one dimensional at all, you know, because like people tend to get, I guess, a little bit put in a box where they're thinking that you're just going to create another superhero genre. Well, that's not necessarily the case at all.
Yep.
They're creating Black sci-fi, they're creating Black supernatural horror, they're creating Black epic fantasy comics and everything like that. Like, and the thing is, once I got like the stride of just like talking to a lot of these creators, it just more so just pinpointed the fact that, you know, there's so much out here, especially in the indie community.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond nuts. I didn't even know it was this big. Like we used to go to Comic-Cons and do press junkets and everything like that. And it sucks because I used to be over there with the mainstream distribution from Marvel, DC, Image and everything like that. And then you don't even necessarily see when you go like the New York Comic Con or one of these major metropolitan Comic Cons, there's this whole artist alley indie world that is huge,
mm-hmm.
huge, full of booths. And I'm talking about numerous amount of booths, maybe in the hundreds. And all these guys are coming in there with crates, you know what I'm saying? Looking like DJs back in the 80s, early 80s and everything like that. Got milk crates full of their books, banners that they're setting up themselves. They're pretty much like sharing tables in between tables and everything like that. And they're just doing so much on the fly as far as like an independent based business.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the community within that is so strong because they support each other in it. And you see them like Marvel and DC don't even have to do anything.
No.
They put their little highlight up, maybe a little bit of lights, and they're not even there to sell books. They're there to release multimedia content basically through TV, movies and everything like that. And they're selling toys.
Yeah, but let me tell you something, not to cut you off, but like Marvel and DC, they don't have to advertise. It's kind of like what I tell my husband, like, why do they even have tampon commercials? We just need that shit. You ain't got to advertise it. Marvel, DC, we just need that shit. We know they go. They've been advertising since the fucking 20s. They don't need to do no more work.
They don't need to do a damn. You know what I'm saying? So like I'm sitting there in the independent like section, like with all the indies and everything like that. And I'm watching these guys like work their pitches, you know, when they're talking to families. So and I've heard Newton Lavis, who does Dream Fury Comics. I've heard him say, he was like, I've been to comic convention so much that I've talked to maybe like one person,
mm-hmm.
a grown man. And then throughout the years, when I start releasing more comics, I see that person get married, then him and his wife are there. And then I see the next Comic-Con, I see a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is what's happening because these people are necessarily following you and becoming ultimate fans, and you're touching the customer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Quote unquote, no pun intended. They're not touching, it's not, we're in a pandemic. They're not touching.
No more, none of that.
Yeah, none of that. You get what I'm saying? Might be a fist bump, might be an elbow bump. That's all we're getting.
Damn,
yeah.
Shit.
Air clap. You might get the stop, rub it together. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, they said we've basically built a community of followers that we know that are going to pretty much be sold on anything that we're creating because they've gotten so used to us and they know that they can see the author or the illustrator or the writer personally.
Exactly.
And talk to them about the comic. And then, you know, necessarily, yeah, comics are primarily a kid's item of maybe like a first time reader or anything like that. So you have to almost dissolve your pitches of how you're constructing how to sell your comics, not only to an adult, but to a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids love superheroes. I know I did. So pretty much like when their parents come down there and you see like the kid point at the superhero, they're like, oh, dad, that guy looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, that person then comes from around the table and he was like, let me tell you about him. And you'll notice how much this world is being created and how interesting that person is. And it inspires these little kids, which then therefore inspires the adults. And then a purchase is made. Somebody popped out a square and then they swipe in cards, but done. But the thing is, the hustle of it is the coolest thing in the world. It's pretty much like how I kind of saw hip hop back in like the late 80s, early 90s, when it was like first starting. People basically selling you, when you went to the gas station, somebody was there with some tapes.
Yeah.
Out the trunk of their car. You know what I'm saying? Just like, and the thing is, that dude, he might've been the worst rapper in the world, but he was going to sell you some motherfucking inspiration, boy.
They
he
was like, man, the shit let me, out of me.
He was like, let me... Let me show you some of this fire. And you'd be like, I know this shit ain't fire, but go ahead, bro. Get it off. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think it's an untapped, well, you know, it's starting to come into its own now, but it was so untapped for so long, indie comics.
Yeah.
But it's just, I'm like, like when I think about movies, mainstream movies, I'm like, that shit really, I did a post a long time ago. It's kind of played out for me. I'm like, I can only watch so many different versions of Superman and Batman and Spider-Man. Right. I'm like, it's so many characters with great stories. Why aren't y'all utilizing it? And I know that it's just a money grab for Hollywood. It's all about the greenbacks. But I'm like, the stories are amazing. They will sell. I'm like, I know when people didn't even know Constantine was a comic book when it came out. I love fucking Constantine. So
look, there's a lot of movies that you wouldn't believe are comic books.
Yeah. So I'm
History of Violence, Viggo Mortensen. Yeah. History of Violence, Viggo Mortensen is an Image comic.
Yeah.
And it's a great story.
Yeah, it's tons of them. And they're not even on a childish level. I don't know if I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like Superman, Spider-Man, you know, suited up. I'm like, it's so many types of comic books, like Hellraiser. Yeah. Or is it called Hellraiser or Hellblazer? It was a comic book I got back Hellblazer. In. Huh?
Hellblazer.
Yeah, yep. That could be an awesome movie.
Yes.
So I'm just like, they just not tapping into all this gold.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, okay, what you're discussing with Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and everything like that, they've been retconned so much that basically their origin stories have now been skewed. You know what I'm saying? So, and because it's happened over and over and over again, because you're starting a story in a comic book about a certain character.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, that story is going to end, and then you have to start a whole new story.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could start it maybe from like a whole different viewpoint, or the thing is, if you're that author, be like, oh, I want to give you my take on Spider-Man.
Exactly.
He's going to create a whole new different origin. And then to the reader, you're like, wait, and this is where the arguments happen amongst like gatekeepers and everything like that. But like, wait, this is when I first started reading Spider-Man comics. He had this type of thing. Well, Uncle Ben was alive in this one. What happened? And it was like, mm-hmm. Uncle Ben actually got killed in the first one. If you didn't know, this is where it happened. So when you look at indie comics nowadays, it's like you're going to get a different story every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Totally distinct, different types of characters and everything like that. And the thing is, if they feel as though that the storyline is going to get dissolved a little bit, mm-hmm. they're going to push you towards another character maybe in their universe. And that character might be something that you've never seen before either. So it works out consistently. And there's so much out there. The one thing I can tell you is that through Kickstarters,
mm-hmm.
that indie comics have made record-breaking year after year, last year and this year. Last year, they made $19 million just in comics.
Mm.
This year, they made $22 million. There's still a month left in this year. Because of the pandemic, people have taken the opportunity to read a lot more.
Yep.
And it's been beneficial to a lot of these creators out there. So, and especially through not only the pandemic, but through the racial climate that we basically been experiencing this year, mm-hmm. a lot of these Black indie comics have been fledgling, you know what I'm saying? Like just pushing the market as far as they could get. And you see a lot of them, they reach out to us, some of us that promote their content in mm-hmm. order to push it out as much as we can.
Yeah.
But they necessarily, they're taking maybe like their first crack at it at Kickstarter or something like that. And then boom, it happens for them. And they're like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't, they get 300% realize. Of what they ask for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what was it? This book I have here. So this book is Okemos by TJ Erlin. So I picked this up maybe earlier in the year, and he put out the fourth book for this. Mm-hmm. So I have the first three and then the fourth book. So the fourth book, the first three he put out strictly through Comic Cons, hustling,
yeah,
going from city to city, you know, sort of trying to push the storyline of his comic. So he's had to physically, you know, drive, fly, take a bus and everything like that to sell his comics either in Arkansas, Louisiana, mm-hmm. Florida, North Carolina, where he's from in New Jersey and New York. He puts it up on Kickstarter for the first time that he's ever used it. $20,000.
Wow.
His goal was only five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's amazing. Because my daughter was a part of an indie comic Kickstarter. It was for the book was called I Can't Breathe. So there was a gentleman that was petitioning like a lot of artists to submit their work. And then he was going to create a book yada, yada, yada for Kickstarter. So, and the proceeds mm-hmm. went to different organizations for Black Lives Matter and all the other organizations. So she's published in a book. This dude, I think he asked her something like that for publishing costs or whatever, like $5,000. He made 230% more than what he asked for. So see? I was like, that's crazy. So yeah, I'm talking to somebody tomorrow about Kickstarter. But and so the thing that brings me to is just a distribution of content creators, because yeah. I have a friend in Virginia that does music. So me and him talk about the back doors and the dirty deals that, you know, the music industry try to give artists. Like I'm like, we're not in the 80s no more. Why are you still giving people these shitty contracts? So yeah. what a lot of distributions and publications and whoever else don't understand, people don't really need y'all anymore. With stuff like Kickstarter, their social media, Patreon, like you can do it all on your own without having to beg for a handout. And then it's probably a crappy deal anyway. It's like dealing with the mob. Like you don't want that deal anyway. Mm-hmm. And you own the content, it's yours. You can do it how you want to. Nobody is gonna, you know, tell you what you need to change. Maybe that character needs to be white. Why are there so many Black people? So I'm just glad that Black people are doing it for themselves and other people are, Black people are just thirsty for it and sucking it in.
Big time.
Yeah, because it's overdue.
Yeah, and pretty much the whole landscape is changing anyway. I mean, Lord only knows when we're going to get back outside again in some regular type of frame. So the whole concept of people being at home, going to their mailbox, getting comics, or even like being at home, like take for instance Jason Richardson, who's one of the Butterfleet members that basically created VT Heroes, mm-hmm. a tabletop card game, put it up for $500, made close to $10,000.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But it's a tabletop board game. It's something for people to do at home. And there's and tabletop card games, especially in nerddom with Dungeons and Dragons and everything, have cult followings. You know what I'm saying? So that happens. So I was super elated to see that happen for him. That was beyond crazy. But the thing is, like the whole concept of these like small mediums and everything, to where you're doing things at home. I used to have game night at my grandpa's house every Friday. You know what I'm saying? Play Life, Clue, all that type of stuff. So something like that is cool. Because you know what I'm saying, you're like bringing like maybe like a few friends over. You don't have to do too much. You don't have to be in no crazy ass 1,000-person setting or anything like that. And you're just having like a good time. But in the meantime, with the comics and everything like that, that's cool too. You can go out to your mailbox, go right back in the motherfucking house. You ain't got to touch nobody. You just got your comic book and you're done. You know what I'm saying? And then you can talk about it.
Yeah.
On the internet.
On the internet. Don't touch me.
Yeah, no. Don't touch me.
You'll be surprised. My mom came over today. I was like, bitch, what are you doing here? You've been out in the world.
Let me just see y'all. All right, go out to the window real quick and I'll show you the baby through the window. Right?
Exactly. God, dog. But yeah, but just content, you know, indie content in general is fascinating to me because I always wanted to do my own comic book. As long as I can remember, I wanted to go to school for sequential art. That's what it's called. At the Savannah College of Art, but I didn't do that because it was hella expensive. And I was like, I'm gonna stick to, you know, some other type of cheap ass art that I don't have to pay to learn how to do. But I'm glad that these are self-taught artists the majority of the time.
Yeah.
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 They show pictures like before and after, you know, when they say 2015, this is how my art
is. Yeah. How it was,
yeah.
How it's been going.
And now these motherfuckers making all the money on Kickstarter.
Right, right.
Yeah. I just think it's amazing. But I had art director Saxton Moore on my show. And we were talking about Black content creators in the right rooms, because he does television and animation. So what would be your dream for the industry and Black creators in the future, now that we've gone through this and we know that we are, I guess, financially feasible?
Yeah, I would definitely say to not be displayed as much as in a box as we are. Like me and you basically talking through the internet. There's not a lot of us in the media talking about nerddom, geekdom, or better yet, pop culture. Mm-hmm. In the sense of our own point of views. That doesn't happen that often. Take for instance, I was looking recently at Irina Simon, who is a Black Latina female creator who's now she's on this esports gaming channel called Zen.
Okay.
which just got its footing in LA, been around a month ago, but now she's now the part owner of XSEC Gaming. So okay. She had to become an owner, you know, pretty much in order to like set her footing. She's done hosting gigs on like Cheddar Esports and through Zen and everything like that, but pretty much it's catapulted her, and she's young, you know, and that's just one person.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So for a lot of us to basically give our perspectives on pop culture and everything like that, it doesn't happen that often. You know, and the thing is, especially for people that are outside of New York and LA.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So to get reached out for perspectives and wanting to just basically speak on the opinions in which we have for like either certain mediums, whether it is gaming, anime, comic books, whatever it is. I feel as though that representation has to take footing somewhere, especially the way that we've been building ourselves to be how we're putting ourselves in position to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because at this point, the industry have to be dumb, deaf, and blind to not see how valuable we are in those media spaces. Because it didn't start, but it did kind of blow the motherfucking doors off with Black Panther. But I'm like, you see the dollars are there. And like I say, people want to say, well, that's just they being racist. At the end of the day, that could be it. But the 90% is about, I want to know at the gate, can I make money on this? And we've never made money off of Black shit. So can we make money off of Black shit?
And the thing is, even after, well, not even after, but during the injustices, with the aftermath of the George Floyd killing,
mm-hmm.
All those companies started reaching out,
yep.
wanting a lot of Black companies and Black spokespersons at their whim. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, what happened after that? Nothing. Yeah. You know, so like pretty much it was a crapshoot. Oh yeah, if you want to jump on now, because like the boat's going to sail off pretty soon.
Yeah.
And I thought that was corny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, okay, after this man has been slain, this is our shot.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't even make sense.
I know. I was blown away because it was like in the same week, Funimation, Crunchyroll, PlayStation, all these companies, these nerd companies came to the forefront. We love and support our Black audience, that, and I was kind of like half like, get the fuck out of here.
I like how long is gonna last?
Yeah,
like this shit lasted a month. I remember I was actually shocked because like Toonami came out with this commercial, and I was like kind of blown away because I grew up on Toonami, and I saw like Tom from Toonami talk about he was basically making this entire speech about Black Lives Matter and everything like that. I was like, I was like, Tom has never spoken about anything as far as social culture. And this motherfucker gonna come out his ass
hard.
It's hard as shit for Black Lives Matter. I like, this nigga ain't never recognized anybody Black. And now all of a sudden it's coming out his pores. How?
Exactly. He's like, I'm coming out politically and I'm coming out on the hardest shit ever.
That was confusing to me.
5 years, like, I'm gonna say some shit. I'm
like, nigga, where you been?
Yeah, it's just crazy. I can't, you know, I guess that's part of being Black. Like, you're like, thank you, clap it up. But I'm keeping an eye on you, Funimation.
Yeah. That's the funny thing about it. Cause like we look at it from like the curiosity lens. We're like pairing our eyes together and like looking at it like, nah, this might be some shady shit. That's, I don't
some
know.
Some clickbait shit. Yeah.
I ain't fucking with this. Hold on, man. Let me. If two of my boys get put on, then I might consider it. That's other than that,
you know, send us no damn letter of support. I want to know when y'all hiring, because Funimation is 30 miles from me.
Really?
Yes, I applied for a job and didn't get it, but yes, I don't want your support. I want your financial support.
And to see a company like that, I mean, the dealings that are happening. Because like take for instance that storyline where Crunchyroll might get bought up by Sony. Yeah. Sony already owns Funimation.
Yeah.
So they'll own 90% of anime within the world.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, do we see Black content going to get brought to the forefront through any of these two companies? I don't know.
Ooh, okay. So you said that and something just triggered in my head and I can't even remember the title of it. It was a Black anime. It had one episode on, mm-hmm. Crunchyroll. And I'm like, what happened to the rest of them? It was like Children of, I can't remember shit. I have to look it up later and put it in the comments. But yeah, I was like, where are the rest of them? And I think they got like an Aztec one coming out pretty soon. Looks pretty cool. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe they trying to dip a toe. But I'm like, it's a lot of shit.
But that's the thing. They just dipping a toe. You know how many animes they have?
Yes.
They have, if not thousands of animes.
People producing their own shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you see those companies that are basically getting brought up, like that brother that created Darth Xiao, which is that Black anime company that's going to be opening up in Japan.
Yeah, Japan.
And then you have Noir Caesar, basically here, based over in South Carolina, Johnny Bryant, former NBA player who now started his own anime and manga company. They're about to release their app next year, 2021. Mm-hmm. So, like, these are two independent Black anime companies that are pretty much going to get put on the market. Now, what happens to them when Sony becomes the juggernaut that it's going to be with 90% of all anime funneled through them? Do we look at the independents a little bit differently? Or do we be like, oh man, they about to like just be generic from now on? Let me go see what's happening on the other side of the fence. Is that going to happen? We don't know.
I think the following that they have will stay. That, you know, we're always, like they said, Funimation and Crunchyroll are basically the DC and Marvel of the anime world. So we'll still,
You see what they doing though? Like they snatching up personalities and shit.
Yeah.
Like how Meg Thee Stallion is now like has her own little like line of Crunchyroll shit. And then rappers are into this shit now. Hold on. Let's see who we can get. We're about to fucking gentrify this whole shit.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, okay, Meg might be the start of this.
Yeah.
But how far could they get if they really wanted to like be like, if they really wanted to put like independent Black anime in the bucket and be like, okay, a lot, not even just Black, independent Black anime, independent anime outside of Crunchyroll and Funimation. It's happening out there. And then all of a sudden, they starting to make all this money. Sony is about to put up $975 million for Crunchyroll. It hasn't happened yet, but it might be on the market soon. That's almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
They already have Funimation. And the thing is, Crunchyroll is its own network. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what happens to these people that are I can't even call them, like, mom and pop shops that are putting it out there. But you have a lot of these guys that are, like, putting out quality content.
Mm-hmm.
And do they get snatched up and then put in the mix? Does it get gentrified enough where anime starts to get more commercialized? And then you're going to see like rappers. And you remember how corny hip hop got in like the 80s when you saw like backspinning, breakdancing, and
McDonald's like commercial? Party house, party is
gonna,
rap.
Is it going to turn into what's that cartoon, Harry the Hamster or whatever, where he has all the kids breakdancing and shit?
Oh, God,
is it going to turn into that? I hope not. You know what I'm saying?
I always go back to why now? What now? Like with Black, it's like, oh shit, Black people like anime? My nigga, we been liking anime. I got hooked on anime. I'm not gonna even lie. I was in middle school, it was Sailor Moon. I was like, what is this shit? Then I got to high school and I saw Dragon Ball Z. I was like, oh shit. Then I saw Ninja Scroll and I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And then I was on it after that. Yeah. So it was like, it's always been in my life. So when people say, oh, Toonami, I was like, yeah, no, it's other shit. You don't have to wait on Toonami. But
we weren't the gathering audience at that time.
Yeah. I'm like, we've always been on it though.
Yeah, we've always been on it. And the thing is, everybody I talk to has been on it. You know what I'm saying? No. And it always goes to show, you know what I'm saying, that Black people push pop culture and everything like that. So when you have the opportunity to have anime and you want to push it out there even farther. And you know how far Black folk will drive some shit. You know what I'm saying? Especially if they love it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if we could push hip hop as much as we have, if we could push food, if we could push fucking buildings and everything like that, Lord knows what they can do with some goddamn anime. You put some rappers behind it. Oh, Sway Lee from Ray Shurmur is into Naruto. That's cool. Michael B. Jordan loves anime. Yeah. Michael B. Jordan loves it. Oh, we about to fuck some shit up now. Like this is the thing. They get into these interviews, and the thing is, it was like a setup because they asked him, yo, what do you like find as childhood memories? And then they'd be talking about anime and everything. We're like, oh, you like anime? And then they talk to the next person and you find out that person likes anime. You find out that person likes anime. You find out that that person likes anime. What does that then tell those companies?
Money.
Oh, I'm about to blow the doors off this motherfucker. I'm about to get real hood with the shit I'm about to put on TV.
But that kind of like 70% made me mad though, because with a better phrase, they want niggas to Sambo to sell, you know, to get more money for them.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is, Meg Thee Stallion is an excellent hip hop artist.
Mm-hmm.
She probably loves the shit out of anime. But she probably is not cognizant to the fact that the anime that Crunchyroll wanted her to promote is not, there's no Black people in the room. There's not one.
Exactly.
There's nobody in production. There's nobody in the artist room. There's nobody in the writer's room. You know what I'm saying? So it pretty much is a check.
Yeah.
It's a check.
I don't do the research. I'm not going to lie. I don't do the research to see who is actually in those companies. But when I see content not coming up, I know brown faces are not in the spaces.
You can obviously tell that. You know what I'm saying? So it took for like that brother from Darth Zhao to basically make his own anime company in Japan.
It was like,
because I know I couldn't get into these rooms with Sony. Yeah. So I got to create. This is the thing. It pisses you off so much that, damn, I got to break my back and create my own shit. I mean, that's cool, but this is the lengths that I have to go to in order to pump out some content.
Yeah. And that's why I say I wish we wouldn't. I don't know what dealings they have under the table, like these independent companies, like you were saying, Noir Caesar. But I'm like, I hope they wouldn't sell the companies out too fast.
Yeah.
Because when it's yours, baby. You can do what you want. And that's what I'm saying. They're not going to lose money because they have a solidified following. So the money's there. Just keep doing your thing. And if you do decide to sell, make the contracts to where it ain't just like you just left in the dust. Put my people on, yes. I still want to be a shareholder. I still want to have, 30% say, whatever.
Yeah, just don't Bob Johnson me and get on TV and start talking conservative shit. You know what I'm saying? We gave you $1 billion, but Viacom gave you $1 billion. And now every time you get on TV, you talk some coon shit. I'll be like, yo, hey, man. You know what? I knew this was set up from jump.
I told you, I got my eye on you.
I got my eye on you, bro. but I am not falling for the setup. This is bullshit.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I want to get into the part of the show where I say I call it this or that. Basically, I hadn't did it in a while, but I asked you a question. You tell me, or you can give me a reason why you're nah. Because sometimes I have to go in on people like, that's some bullshit. So I'm going to try not to go in on you, James. But so this or that, Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Did you not see what I posted today?
I ain't see what you, well, no, I saw that you had the raising prices that they basically, so this is the thing. We remember Netflix from when they was shipping you sleeves of DVDs to your house. And you know what I'm saying? We felt like we was family for a second. You know what I'm saying? You see how they doing us right now? It's horrible. So this is the thing. With Hulu, there's a package with Hulu. Disney Plus and ESPN Plus. You could get it for like this small little like bundle and everything like that. Netflix, you see what they doing?
I got my eye on you.
Black content. You get a ton of black content, black movies and everything like that. They got anime.
Yeah. It ain't always quality when they try
to do it. You know what else Netflix got?
What?
Kung Fu Flicks.
Yeah.
old school kung fu flicks. Old school kung fu flicks. Old school TV shows that you know and love, because I remember when they took The Office off of Netflix, how much of people got into a tailspin about. I don't even watch the fucking Office, but I was like, why is everybody like bitching about The Office being off of Netflix, or Seinfeld being off of Netflix and everything like that? But the thing is some of their original products are cool and everything like that. But yeah, they going to continue to do that, which sucks. But yeah, that's going to happen.
This is my complaint, because I've received that email in the early hours today, and mm-hmm. I had just woke up with the sleep in my eyes, and I said, what the fuck? Because 2 times last year, they raised the price. 2 times in a year? Is that even legal? And then today, we're just going to raise it by $1. Like, it's still my dollar on Netflix. And what I get so messed up about is Netflix is just shows. Yeah. At least when Hulu tried to bend me over, they was like, we're going to give you shows. We're going to give you live content. We're going to give you DVR. All over $50.
Yeah. Netflix ain't got sports.
Netflix ain't doing that. They just creeping it up. I say, I'm going to wake up 2 years from now and this shit going to be $20. And it's still going to be just regular old content.
We about to give you our 7th Dave Chappelle special. We about to bump this up another motherfucking dollar.
It's Dave Chappelle's fault. It really is. It is.
Dave Chappelle. Look, we just paid Dave Chappelle $70 million. We got to get our money back somewhere from you.
I'm so upset at them. I wrote it in that comment. I was just winning and I was like, pull back some. I was like, I remember 11 years ago when this shit was $4.99. Now y'all got this extra shit. If you want more than two people watching it once, you got to buy the $13.99. I was like, back in the day, shit, my cousins all over the United States could share my account. Don't sue me, Netflix. They're not on it no more, I promise. Yes. But I'm like,
I remember when y'all niggas was Redbox.
But they too good now. They bougie. They like, bougie. What you gonna do? You gonna leave? Leave. I'm y'all like, you right.
Y'all got y'all pinkies out when y'all drink now. Yes. Horrible.
They were like, bitch, you're not going anywhere. Castlevania will be back, bitch. You're not going nowhere.
Three's coming out.
Exactly. I'm like,
you're gonna love it. It's horrible.
I'm just complaining because I know I'm not gonna leave. I know I'm not. Nope, my family won't let me. That's so. It's like a fucking drug, dude. Like the one hit, that's free. But now,
if I was to be like, man, fuck y'all, I'm canceling. Be like, oh, that Dave Chappelle special about to come out. Damn,
motherfucker. I know. Hold up. I'm gonna have to create a new email address so I can get that 7 day free.
Whole new account.
Exactly. Okay. Well, you like that trash, but that's my word for 2020, trash. Everything trash or dumps the juice. Trash. Netflix is dumps the juice. I can't get over it. $1. And I'm over here like, fuck this shit, flip the tables.
But, we're raising prices. Fuck y'all.
You hit it on the head. All right. So I don't know where you know, what line you dance on with this, but would you choose hentai or porn?
Yeah, porn.
I can't. And I always have to give my reason.
I'm not gonna deal with no squid monsters.
That's my jam. But
I grew up in a time when Demon Beast Invasion and LeBlue Girl was out. Yeah. Those were like the first ones that you've seen, and those were the weirdest of the weird. Like, to the point where they was just doing it and girls were blowing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
a little strange.
Like, this is extra.
But like both genres, it can always go to the extreme. Both of them got extremes. You know that.
Both of them go to extreme, but you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to click on that category button. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you see the BDSM, you're like, no, not today. Not today.
I got to live with myself. But yeah, but my whole thing.
I got church in the morning. I can't be.
It's the perfect time to watch it. but I tell people, my thing is with hentai, I don't have to, I have this inner dialogue with porn. Uh-huh. I'm like, is she really enjoying this? Is this really what she wants to be doing? Is she trying to get through college? Is she underage? Like, I can't even get to it because I'm thinking about it. With a cartoon, yeah. It's the cartoon. She ain't got no backstory. She not having no struggles. She ain't got no daddy issues.
We don't know that. We don't know that. Before she met that squid monster, she didn't. She could have been anybody off the streets.
I'm like, it's safe. Nobody's getting hurt. I don't know if anybody's been trafficked.
She might have just got kicked out of her house for eating the
bowl.
Last ramen bowl got kicked out and a squid monster approached her. Her dad did not know that when she stepped out them doors, it was going to be the last time he saw her.
No. Before she got impregnated by tentacles. Exactly.
My synthetical. Now she having squid babies.
Don't go there.
Horrible.
You would not condemn my likes, okay? That's my shit all day long. Send me a link. I'm like, thank you. All right. So that's enough of that. With this new, you know, thing that's hit the streets that I cannot afford because I got responsibilities and a family, PlayStation 5 or the Xbox?
Neither.
Exactly. I'm like, my shit still work.
Look, I'll tell you another story. I don't play video games.
I wish I could play more.
I haven't played a video game since 2001. And you could ask the party nerds this because I've told this story before. I was in the military from 99 to 03. And I was big on video games. I brought my PS2 with me during that time. Note where we're at. PS5, last console James owned, PS2. I owned a 2.
Oh my God, and you got me crying.
Yeah, and I played Madden like a mad person. I would do 3 days in the field and I was off for 4. Mm. And in 4 days, I would be in the barracks playing Madden consistently. So much so that I built an anger issue. I built up some horrible anger issues. And what did I do one day in Minot, North Dakota, where I was stationed? I got so upset in my game that I tossed that motherfucker right out the window.
Oh my God. That's a problem, sir.
So one of my boys came upstairs and was like, yo, did you just toss a PS2 out the window? I said, yeah, man, that's it. It was either that, oh, y'all going to really have some problems with me. We might be fighting up on these dorms and everything like that.
What took you to that point?
I do not like to lose.
You can try again. Like, you know, with video games, you can try again.
You hit the start button and hit reset and everything. No, not James. No, no. Dude. Like, bro, it was like, all I saw was I parked my car and I saw a PS2 flying out the window.
Oh, and my God.
I was like, yeah, that was me. And that was it. I gave up that day.
They should have piled up the people with the little jackets that cross in the back for you.
That's it. Not on base. No, on base, they think everything is normal. No,
we just need you to fight.
People walking around with guns and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is normal. Oh, he's just getting off some stress.
Oh my God, that is not healthy. No. I say everybody's like, oh, I'm getting a PS5, PS5. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm just too responsible because I have a perfectly good PS4 up there. That does not make sense to me. And it's like, and what about all the games?
You could get Spider-Man for the PS4.
I'm like, and if I couldn't, my nigga, I can only play probably 2 hours in 7 days because I got a life.
Exactly.
It's not feasible. It's not.
No, and once again, we are in a pandemic and you motherfuckers are breaking the bank to get PS5s in your house.
That's my main thing. And just the planning, the corporate planning of this, like this was not the time, PS5. Like, this is not the time.
These niggas is going crazy. Like, come on, y'all. Like, seriously.
You cannot have a job tomorrow and you up here buying a PS5?
Support some of these black companies. You over here just like fucking... Y'all support some of these companies. And y'all out here just giving Sony all your dough. All your dough. Microsoft with the Xbox One. Y'all giving all your dough. Y'all half broke arguing with your baby mama in your house.
Child support issues.
She talking about my baby just started growing. She can't fit none of her shoes. You talk about your PS5, nigga, fuck you. Come on, dog.
They're making real life choices out here.
Your daughter's fucking toes are in her shoe, crumpled up.
His knuckles piercing through.
Knuckles piercing through. And you got a PS5. You can kiss my ass, dog. Kiss my ass.
I'm telling you, I need people to send me stories about whack ass PS5 stories, like trash ass nigga stories.
This is the thing. It's happening right now.
Oh yeah.
There's at least five happening right now. You know what I'm saying?
Because I see their post they keep putting up. It's like an Amazon cart where it's like a face mask, a gun, and some tennis shoes. We're like, oh, a PS5 is only $201. Like, y'all willing to commit crimes for this little piece of nothing.
Look, I grew up as a child in the 80s when cats was getting shot for Jordans. Yeah. So I don't need to be around here for no PS5s. Y'all can have that.
Y'all can have all that shit. Okay. All right. So comics, into the comics. What superpower would you want to have if that was a thing?
You know what? That is a very tough one. It would have to be teleportation. I don't want to read nobody's mind.
I used to think that, but then 2020 happened.
I don't want to read nobody's mind.
No.
Because the thing is, for people that always say, oh, I would love telepathy. You nosy. That's your problem. You're nosy. You know what I'm saying? You over there analyzing your boss's day through his head.
You just got in my head. Because that's why I was like, I want to see what's going on in my boss's head so I can figure out how to get this promotion.
Like, man, I wish somebody would just finish up the quarterly reviews like I asked. It was like, oh, he needs those?
Right here, buddy. You know?
Right here.
No. Okay.
Yeah, teleportation. So I could just float the hell up out the room. Because I'm one of those cautious brothers where I like observe a room, and if I see shit that just look a little finicky or uncomfortable, I could dip out through a wall. Just
night crawl on the ass. I'm just
like poof, and I'm out. Exactly. And I'll be right on my couch.
Like that shit was about to get out. I was out.
Like there was a shooting at the nightclub. I was just there.
I know. So I always say this. I said this one, and then I like people like, oh, you just, you know, trying to play off the boys. But if super villains and superheroes were a thing, how tragic or great would you think that would be?
They would be tragedy to the T. Yeah. Because I don't feel as though any person, regardless of what they are, and they're probably humanoids or anything, I don't believe in anybody being idolized.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the way that people like idolize Trump is weird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you do realize that's a man. Like the way that like people revere over like their pastor in their church. But like, yo, that's a dude.
Yeah.
There's a dude up there.
Yeah.
And like he is not holier than now. I just saw him drive off in his Mercedes Benz. Like, chill out.
What are you paying for?
You know what I'm saying? I saw him change his tire on his Mercedes Benz last week. That's a guy.
Yeah. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous,
but the thing is, they're idolizing people with superpowers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which makes it even more weird. You know what I'm saying? So like, for a superhero to actually like walk that thin line and be like, you know, to actually like have the notification in his head to say, this is weird. Yeah. Why are y'all crowding around me like this? Because I have this power. Like, is power that much of a construct in all of our minds that we basically... we ooze at it, and we just like, we're like, oh man, this dude, he could just basically knock over this building and everything like that. No, that's scary, nigga. Why are y'all hovering around him?
Exactly. But the other side of that coin, is that not celebrity in reality? That's
absolutely what it is. And I don't believe in that shit either.
I don't either.
You know what I'm saying? Like the fact that, you know, we talk about Kim K having like that many million followers.
For what?
What did she do? She married one of the most narcissistic people on earth. You know what I'm saying? My man said, I voted for the first time in my life, and I voted for the person that I trust the most, me. And that said all you needed to say about that motherfucker right there.
I can't talk about that.
Kanye was not in no type of resolve of progress at that moment. You know what I'm saying? His mother was a teacher. She didn't tell him none of this shit. Lord God rest her soul, man. Damn, she gone. And you know what I'm saying? And this is the man that she married. And she don't feel the need to check him every once
in
a while.
That's what I'm going to say. I got two things on it. Kanye, he can be held responsible. But I'm like, he can't be held responsible. This man has a mental break. When his mother died, that's when every ship
Everything.
Sailed. Yeah.
Shit.
And so and when people can't recognize that, I'm like, people, sometimes it depends. When your parents die, it can break you, or you can keep on going. You hurt, but you can keep going on with life. He's one of those people that broke him.
Yeah.
So then he turned around and married another narcissist. Cause she yeah. fake humble. She fake humble. Yeah. So she married him and brought nothing to the table. She's not helping this man's work on his mental health. It's like it's a show for her. Like she gets to be a part of the show, which is her career. She's a part of a show. So
all of a sudden she want to be a damn lawyer. She want to be a lawyer.
I'm not playing with her.
Right, come on, son.
I'm not entertaining that. Her or her husband trying to be in politics and law.
Yeah. and the thing is, okay, like her getting Alice Johnson. Her vote of freedom was cool. You know what I'm saying? That showed you the power of social media and everything like that. She put out the campaign and everything like that. And that woman did deserve to get released. Cool. But then she took it and basically made a polarizing notion that, oh yeah, I can do this. No, there's people that go to law school for very long periods of time.
And fail the bar the time, law,
and time and time again to become lawyers and everything like that. They fail like almost at no resolve, just happens all the time until they actually become lawyers and they've studied that book in and out to pass the bar exam. Some people get on the first try, some people don't. And you just think, okay, I'm gonna be a lawyer because my dad was a lawyer. You crazy motherfucker.
Don't work really?
I feel you, you know what I'm saying? I know her self-esteem is like not even, it's stratospheric. It's not even through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't tell her shit.
Yeah, but that's why I say people could, like, okay, I'm gonna flip it on you. What if you did have a superpower? Would you tell anyone, or would you just keep it to yourself? Mm-mm. Yeah, I think I would be not that way too. Just
not at all. As a matter of fact, I'd go homeless. I'd be Hancock. You find me on a stoop somewhere, just drinking and everything.
I know. It's just, you know what
I'm saying? I'm going to be the most low budget superhero you ever seen in life. Matter of fact, people just ain't going to know I'm a superhero.
Not going to even know, because I'm like, it's too much work. It's too much fucking work. But people have mental illness. Like, them the wrong people to get the powers. And we saw that from The Boys. Like, these people got mental illnesses. The majority of people in the world got mental illnesses. They just haven't been diagnosed. And then you get these motherfuckers in power.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
And you saw it in there. Like it was pretty much, you know, that whole white flight character that they have, like characters like the Deep that thought that he could just get over on any woman that he pleased because he had these superpowers. Or you had somebody like Homelander who was just the exalvent of ego. You know what I'm saying? Like his ego is times 10 because he feeds off of that audience, even though how much debilitating nuts mentally that he is, you know what I'm saying? And then they brought that character of Stormfront on there who was just at no point a filter.
No, all of them trash.
Straight up. This bugged me out on that one.
It was really great. It was very tantalizing. I was talking to Onaji from Concrete Comics and I was like, with all the shit going in the world, why do we consume such a large portion of, you know, it's trash TV. It's good TV, but I'm like, them people got crazy shit going on and we live in crazy shit. So it's like 24/7 we consuming, you know, bullshit. Like when we get a break, show couldn't get a Lovecraft Country.
Yeah. And no, Lovecraft Country was trauma after trauma every episode. Like it's to the point now where we're watching TV and TV is so like cultivating now as far as like the psyche is concerned. Like it just like brings up so much because it's now ultimately connected. They're not even living in a fantasy world, mm-hmm. unless you go like to Hallmark Channel or some shit like that. And yeah. you're watching all them Christmas movies. That's fake.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody that happy. Mm-mm. But that's what you should be watching. You know yes. what I'm saying?
After the episodes of any of those shows, because you can find me on The Head Nurse in Charge actually crying on an episode. talking about love.
Right. And this is the thing, you know what I'm saying? I saw that shit. I was like, man, you bent me on that day. I saw that film.
And the whole time I was burning. You know, when you're trying to stop from crying, I was like, oh, I'm on fire inside. And I was just like, I got to let it go.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, Lovecraft Country was a spin. Even in the flaws that they had in that show, it just pretty much put you in those moments mm-hmm. with all those characters, and you just didn't know where it was going to go, but it was like you were stuck. Yeah. If you watch the episode, nothing is as crazy as it got, you couldn't leave. Mm-mm. It kept you the entire time.
I love
which it. I thought was false between that and Watchmen earlier this year, which I thought was fabulous too.
Yes, I was like, I got my eye on you, HBO, coming with the
HBO. HBO has been doing some things.
Yes.
As far as content is concerned.
Black content.
And yes, they have. Yeah. And see, that's the thing.
That's how they get you.
That's the thing. That's how they get us. HBO is a white company. You're like, yo, we about to put out some bangers. We're going to get you stuck. HBO Max is coming out. Y'all about
and
to
I
pay
got
that.
It.
And that $13, I'm going to get you.
I swore up and down I was gonna get that shit. And I was like, Lovecraft Country.
Nope.
Where was like, fucking credit card?
Well, I can't be missing no episodes. I talk nerd shit.
Oh my God. Okay, so my final question. If I could give you $1 million right now, what would you mm-hmm. do with that? Considering that you got a podcast coming out, you're building up your content, what would you do with it?
I would give 800,000 of it to probably the charity of my choice and keep 200,000 to flip it.
Flip it into what? What you gonna flip?
Flip my whole comfortability into just being like at a stay level playing field. I'm cool right here on this level, right here.
Okay, cool. So you're gonna live out there 200.
I get my house in order, I put a little in savings, and y'all have that other 800,000. Now, note. I will get that 800,000 back on taxes.
Now you're thinking like Trump. No, I'm just like
straight
over
there.
I'm doing a good thing. When do we do our taxes?
Come tax season, I'm like, well, yeah, I put that 800,000. I gave it to the charity of my choice. And he was like, oh, well, that is a write-off. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get that back in a refund.
Yes.
You're fucking, I'm gonna get that money back.
Oh, but I forgot the disclaimer. You're not getting any blessings and tickets into heaven.
Yeah,
it wasn't from the
right.
heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, all right, Jesus, look, it was a plan. I had a plan. All right, Lord. I know you know my heart. At least they got the money. The benefit was that I got it back.
Nah, you ain't seen The Good Place. That ain't how it work.
I just started watching that actually.
Okay. So I'm gonna say this one last thing.
Uh-huh.
I cried again.
Am I watching The Good Place?
Yes. See,
I'm on episode 7 of The Good Place, first season.
Yeah, it made me cry like a baby. Existential crisis. Anyway. Yeah. Well, James, it was a pleasure having you on the show. I laugh like a mad woman on every show, but I truly enjoyed your time and your company.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Q.
Yeah. You want to tell the people where they can find you?
Yeah. Well, you can catch me right here on IG. Well, not here, but you can catch me on IG, Grandmaster Facts. You can catch me on the Party Nerds podcast. And come Black Friday will be the debut of the Facts Project, which is basically a one-on-one interviewing journal to find out the things that stick out to a lot of people. How nerd culture has changed and captivated their lives.
Okay. So can you give us a snippet of what episode 1 will entail?
Episode 1, I can tell you, I have a conversation with Will Brown, who is the VP of operations for No R Caesar.
Okay.
And we talk about basically his upbringing of where he's a producer. He's the VP of operation for Noir Caesar. And he's also he also has a podcast called Beat the Block Podcast, where he discusses a lot of people within the music business when they hit their mental breaks. How did they get through them? So he's talking about mental health and social issues.
Okay. Sounds tight. I already watched it. I mean, listen to the trailer on your website. I was like,
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I was like, oh, this intro is fire. I was like, at work, I was like, oh, this motherfucker didn't hit the beats.
Look, I got a few people I can hit up. That's one of the benefits of formerly being in nightlife, is that you know a lot of DJs and they always got beats.
Yes. Well, kudos. I can't wait for episode one. So I got my notifications on Spotify.
Good. Thank you.
All right, bro. Well, you take it easy. Keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing. And I'm glad that we are brother and sisters in the Blurred Fleet.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Take it easy, bro.
All right, Q. Bye.
All right, y'all. That's our show. I hope you enjoyed yourself. You may want to go over to Grandmaster Fax's Instagram page and just scroll through and look at some of the content creators that he follows and he supports. I think he has some links on those posts also to those creators' Kickstarters and links to their Instagram and websites. All right, that's our show, y'all. It's time to pay these bills. I always say that, but I really need help with these bills. All right, y'all, it's time to do the spiel to pay the bills. You can support the show by donating through Patreon, Cash App, which is $Gadgets and Geekery, or through anchor.fm. There's a couple of different ways that you can donate to the show on a month-to-month basis to help sustain future episodes and equipment. There's merch over on the Gadgets and Geekery website. There's shirts, mugs, hats, cell phone cases, all sizes on the shirts. You can call us and leave any comments or show ideas on the hotline, which is 972-664-4886. Again, that's 972-664-4886. We're on all the social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Gadgets and Geekery is how you can find us. We also have a 21 and up Discord that you can find through our Patreon. We also have a Nerdcore Spotlight showcasing artists in nerd, genre, hip-hop, etc. You can submit your songs to gadgetsgeekery@gmail.com. Again, that's gadgetsgeekery@gmail.com. And also, please leave a review wherever you stream the show. All right, and again, I hope you enjoyed.